Everybody, we are here. Time to come on in for Anointed Temple of Praise, Christian Church Disciples of Christ, our Monday Manna Bible study.
Certainly hope everyone had a blessed day today and that you have enjoyed this day. What day is what is the date
today?
16th, 17th. The 17th of May. And believe it or not, May is getting right out of here. It's moving rapidly past us, but we praise God for his keeping power and for him sustaining us and for blessing us even in spite of ourselves. And as we always say, this is indeed the day the Lord has made. And so we are determined to rejoice and be glad in it. As Lady Kim is getting ready, I believe something powerful is going to happen tonight as a result of our faith being engaged. The Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so we look forward to what's going to happen as a result of this time that we're going to spend together tonight. And so I believe we're about ready to get started. Lady Kim, how are you feeling today?
I'm pretty good.
Okay,
A little a little weary and tired, but I'm good.
Okay, had a rough day today?
It was a long day.
Okay.
Nothing particularly, you know, out of character, but...
But you made it, huh?
I made it.
Up until this point, and God is still keeping you.
Yes.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and get started. Let us know the sound is coming through okay, and we see people are coming on now, but give us some indication that the sound is clear and that you can hear us as we prepare for this time together. We're in the 48th chapter of Genesis. Is that right, Lady Kim?
That's correct.
We're going to be in chapter 48. 47, well, what is it? 48 and 49 tonight. And hopefully next week we can recap and close out Genesis. This has been a very interesting study. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely.
And so we said, I think, at the beginning of our study that if we get a good handle on what's happening in the book of Genesis, I think it will open up a lot of our understanding in terms of the rest of the Bible, the rest of the story, in terms of getting clear direction about what has happened before so that it can help us get a sense of what God is doing even now. How you feel about that, Lady?
That's right. It gives us a firm foundation.
Okay, a firm foundation.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and get started, and we'll come back to that because that's powerful that you just said, and I think we need to build on the foundation of our past and remember what people have done in order to get us to where we are,
mm-hmm.
and it helps us to move better into the future once we get a clear understanding of where the Lord has brought us, what we've gone through as a people, what our family has had to endure, and some of the things that many times we take for granted will help us in situations when we're faced against similar situations in our own lives.
Absolutely.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Father, we bless you and we honor you and we thank you for this day, and we do thank you for our lives. Thank you for your Spirit's abiding presence even tonight. We're grateful for each person on this call, those who will hear this and play this particular virtual Bible study back later. We pray that you would just allow our needs to be met, that you will open doors for us, that you will make ways, that you will heal, deliver, and set free. And God, we pray for those who are yet struggling and going through various things in their lives and just trying to make sense of where they are in this journey. We lift up those who are bereaved today and those who have lost loved ones and those who are going through surgeries and who are going through rehabs. And so we bless you and we honor you and we yet give you praise. Now, God, settle us and center us. Allow us to hear your word. And you told us that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Help us not just to be hearers, but to be doers of your word. So we love you tonight. We honor you and we bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Somebody just type amen right there. And
amen.
It is so.
It is so.
All right. You got to type that in now, Lady Kim. You're going to type it in.
Oh, you want me to type it in?
Can you type it in?
Yeah, amen.
All right. There it is. And it is so.
Yeah.
All right. Well, as we do each week, we just give a brief recap of what happened in our worship experience on yesterday. Yesterday was an interesting service for us where we were people were trying to make their way back into the sanctuary, and we're in preparation mode in terms of getting ready for the 30th of May when we will have our in-person worship services again. Isn't that right?
Amen, and I'm excited.
Are you excited?
Yes, I'm excited. A few people, some of our leaders returned on yesterday just to get acclimated to things, and I was just so delighted to see their partial faces mm-hmm. because they had masks on. So just delighted to see everybody. I can't wait until we can get back to the place where we could embrace people and show our love by embracing each other and getting close to each other and talking to people and seeing smiles again.
Okay, all right. So it was a good day yesterday. What were some of the things that you gathered from our time together on yesterday? I know we were trying to just make sure everything was in place and going through some protocols, and a lot was happening behind the scenes and even before the worship service started. So what were some of the things that you gleaned from the service on yesterday?
Well, yesterday you talked about how to overcome the giants in your life.
Okay.
And you, your scripture came from 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, verses 32 through 37,
mm-hmm.
when David, you know, came up against the Philistine, and and he was a giant.
A giant.
He was not only tall, but he was big also.
Okay.
And people and Saul, King Saul, was saying, there's no way you can go up against that giant. You know, he's just too big for you. And the thing about it, he said, you're just a boy.
Right.
Because David was just a little shepherd boy. But David reassured him. He said, I killed bears and lions, you know, with my bare hands. I can go up against this uncircumcised Philistine. And so he said that the Lord would allow him to triumph. And so Saul finally consented. Saul tried to give David his armor to wear, you know,
mm-hmm.
but his armor was just too big and heavy for David because, again, David was just a boy.
That's right.
So David finally went up against Goliath, and we know what happened, that Goliath was defeated. And so when you talked about, you know, facing your giants, our giants don't have to be a physical giant. There are giants are some symbolic giants. You know, you can have the giant of a relationship problem. You can mm-hmm. have a giant of sickness. You can have a giant that you're facing insurmountable debt. You know, there are lots of giants that you face. And so your first point was that you have to identify your giant in order to overcome it.
That's right.
So we have to put a name on our giant. Just like I said, your giant might be a child on drugs. Your giant might be that, you know, you're unhappy on your job. You need to face your giant. You need to name or identify your giant. And then your second one was you have to face it in order to fix it.
Okay.
You know, once you identify your giant, what are you going to do to overcome that giant?
That's right.
You have to face the fact. You know, a lot of people, you know, have the ostrich syndrome. You know what an ostrich does. It sticks its head in the sand and pretends that everything is going to be all right. But you know what? If you do nothing, that's even making a choice.
Mm-hmm.
You're choosing mm-hmm. to do nothing.
That's
so you
good.
Have to face it in order to fix it. Face your problem. What are you going to do about it? Identify it. You know, I've got a rotten job that I hate to go to every morning. All right. I've identified it. I face it. What am I going to do to make this situation better that I'm in. And then I don't think you got to the last point, but realize there are more Davids than Goliaths.
Right.
You know, there are more, we're more than conquerors.
More.
We're more than conquerors
through him
that loved us.
That's right.
I'm sorry.
It's in there.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. So Jesus has given us the spirit of a warrior, the spirit of a conqueror, the spirit to defeat our enemies. So we can overcome our giants.
That's good. And I don't know if I really fully developed that second point, Lady Kim, but you helping me, because I kind of gave an indication on yesterday that there
you
were
do
possibility
a part two.
Of part two. And so I just feel that brewing in the atmosphere, because people are faced with different obstacles and different challenges. And sometimes when we don't do anything, that thing will begin to grow and it will begin to overwhelm us to the point till we are taunted by whatever it is we're going through. And we sometimes decide to settle for doing nothing, rather than relying on the power and the presence of God to see us through. And so this is a powerful passage of scripture in 1 Samuel that really helps us to identify and then face and then know that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. And the same God that was able to give David the strength that he needed in order to conquer and overcome his giants, he's still available to us today. And so we're going to be working on that as we prepare for next Sunday. But thank you so very much for just kind of sharing that with us. I got a couple of things I might need to go ahead and write them down, because you know the old saying, if you got a short memory,
you need a long pencil. Get your long pencil working.
I know that's right. Or a pen that works well, right?
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing that with us. And those of you who didn't get an opportunity to witness the worship experience on yesterday, you can go to our website. We have that information there. And it's www.anointedtemple.org. And we hope that you can get a chance to view that if you haven't already. And even as we prepare for in-person worship, we're going to continue to keep our virtual worship experience available, because we have built a virtual audience during this season. Wouldn't you agree, Lady
Absolutely.
Kim?
Absolutely. We have people not only in Memphis, but people in Alabama and California and Michigan.
Illinois,
all watching. So we do have a great virtual audience.
Los Angeles.
Yes.
And so even my brother, he's down in Georgia, right outside of Jacksonville. My sister in Birmingham. And so we're grateful for God having us avail ourselves in such a way that we extend the gospel. And I think this is very much a part of what we can anticipate in terms of the gospel getting to the ends of the earth and the fulfillment of the Great Commission. Wouldn't you agree, Lady Kim?
Yes.
All right. Well, we're in chapter 48 of Genesis, and this is a very interesting chapter. We're going to try to cover chapter 48 and 49 tonight. I know many of you have already read this before tonight, and you're familiar with these latter chapters in Genesis, but chapter 48 really kind of ties everything in a knot, so to speak, and prepares to close out a long journey with Jacob and with his son, really trying to, Joseph, getting a sense of revealing himself, releasing all of the blessings upon his siblings, and forgiving them and not holding a grudge. He did try a little trickery there in the latter few chapters that we read. But Joseph now is ready to really share in terms of all of the prosperity that he was able to obtain because of what his brothers did for him, he didn't grow weary, nor did he hold a grudge, nor did he decide he was going to try to pay back his brothers. Isn't that pretty much what happened, Lady Kim?
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what happens then as we prepare to go into chapter 48? Give us just a little, a recap so we can kind of see what's happening here.
All right. And as you stated, this is a continuation of Joseph's story. We know that Joseph rose to great power mm-hmm. after he came out of prison in Pharaoh's house. Pharaoh made him second in charge over everything because Joseph interpreted his dream and that there would be 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of lack. And so when Joseph told Pharaoh the dream, Joseph told Pharaoh that he needed to put someone in charge who would be able to, you know, assist with them storing up in the time of plenty so that when the lean times came, they would be able to survive, and not only to survive, but to provide for all the provinces around them.
Mm-hmm.
And so Pharaoh said, well, who better to do that than you? And so that's how Joseph rose to power. And during that time, Joseph's brothers came in the lean years to purchase food in Egypt and from Joseph. And Joseph was able to give them all the provisions that they needed. And then also, once they found out who Joseph was, once he revealed himself to his brothers, he told his brothers to go back and get their families, his dad and their children and grandchildren, and bring them back to Egypt so that they could be provided for.
That's right.
And so that's where we end up in this 48th chapter. But now, in this 48th chapter, Manasseh and Ephraim, which are Joseph's sons, Jacob, Joseph's father, is going to bless Ephraim. Ephraim getting the greater blessing and Manasseh getting the lesser blessing. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to see again another reversal of blessings in this 48th chapter.
Well, what do you mean by reversal of blessings, Lady Kim? Because I think this has happened before, and a lot of people don't clearly understand a reversal of blessings. Can you unpack that a little bit more for us?
Well, generally, the older son receives the blessing.
Okay.
Jacob and Esau, the blessing was stolen.
Mm-hmm.
The blessing was stolen for some food.
Okay.
So Jacob ended up with the blessing that Esau was supposed to get.
Okay.
All right. And then this case, Ephraim received the blessing that Manasseh was supposed to get.
So Ephraim was the youngest, or was he the oldest?
Ephraim was the youngest.
Okay. Okay. And so normally that blessing would go to
the oldest.
Okay. And as a result of what happened here, we see that whole thing coming back into play. It was not something that was stolen, but it was more or less Jacob's desire to reverse the process in terms of what they had been accustomed to with the older sibling receiving the blessing.
Right.
Okay. All right. Okay.
All right. So just to give a recap of chapter 48, first, Joseph, remember his children were born in Egypt,
mm-hmm.
brings his twin sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, to Jacob.
Okay.
Remember Jacob was a twin also?
That's right.
Jacob and Esau were twins. Now Jacob's baby son, younger son, because he had another son after him.
Benjamin.
But Jacob's son, Joseph, now he has twins.
That was his favorite, right?
Uh-huh.
Before his brothers pulled the switcheroo and the scheme and the conniving and sold him into slavery, right?
Absolutely.
And Joseph really thought that that his son was dead. I mean, Jacob thought that Joseph was actually dead, and he finds out now that he's alive. Is that right?
That's correct.
That's part of what happened in the last chapter. Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. So
I don't mean to continue to interrupt you, but just kind of trying to recap, so because we can ready to close this out here in the next lesson or so, and we want to make sure that those who are joining us, perhaps in between that whole process, gets a clear understanding. Because even as we indicated before, if we really kind of get an understanding of what's happening here in Genesis, it will help unpack a lot of the things that we see happening throughout the rest of the Bible.
That's right.
Okay.
All right. So Jacob adopts them and then blesses them. Why does he adopt Manasseh and Ephraim? Because mm-hmm. they were not born in the promised land.
Okay.
They were born in Egypt. So it wasn't that he was disowning them. They weren't born in the land of promise.
Okay.
So Jacob makes it clear that his grandson's inheritance will be equal to his son's, which is why scripture refers to the tribe of Manasseh and Ephraim.
Hmm.
After his family had been in Egypt for 17 years, Joseph was informed that his father's health was failing.
Mm-hmm.
So Joseph took his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, and went to visit his father. When they arrived at Jacob's home, he was informed that Joseph had come to visit him. Jacob sat on his bed and called for the visitors to come in. He informed them that the Lord had appeared to him in Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed him.
Mm-hmm.
Also, God had told Israel that he would make him fruitful and multiply his descendants so as to become a great nation. Jacob tells Joseph that though Manasseh and Ephraim were born in Egypt, not the home of his ancestors, he accepted them into the family and considered them his grandsons. Joseph took them close to their grandfather, whose eyes were failing. He could not see. And Jacob placed his left hand on Manasseh's head and his right hand onto Ephraim's head. Jacob prayed for them and then blessed them. So when Jacob placed his hands on them, he crossed his hands over.
Mm-hmm.
So his right hand was supposed to go on Manasseh, which would give him the greater blessing, and his left hand on Ephraim. But instead, when the boys were standing before him, he crossed his hands over, and his right hand was upon Ephraim, and his left hand was on a Manasseh.
And Joseph was feeling some kind of way about this.
Yeah, I think at first Joseph didn't notice because he had pronounced the blessing. But when he saw his father pronouncing the blessing with his hands crossed, he realized that he was, quote unquote, blessing the wrong son. So he took his hands, you know, and tried to, you know,
move him back
or uncross him. But his Jacob said no, that he meant for
he
him.
Knew exactly he, what he
knew
was
what
doing.
He was doing. Yes,
and that's interesting, Lady Kim, and that really kind of unpacks a whole lot here, because it's a lot we can say about that right hand and the blessing that comes from the right hand.
Mm.
And it's also a lot to be said about how many times preparation precedes the blessing, and how God had already prepared Jacob for what was about to happen, even though his son Joseph was trying to get a sense of what he was doing, because he was going contrary to the regular protocol, if you will, in terms of the eldest son receiving the blessing. But Joseph decided that he was going to do this in terms of making sure that that the younger son would be the one who would be the lead and not the older son. But he also said that the older son would not go without, or mm-hmm. he would not be His blessings would not be diminished. But that leads, and somebody just raised the question, do we know why That leads to the question about how oftentimes, even when we make this applicable to our own lives, that sibling rivalry or sibling confusion can sometimes create a lot of mistrust and unbelief and a lack of unity in the family. But I believe the parents, as well as in this case the grandparents, they can see something in the kids that many times the kids can't see in themselves.
Right.
And so I think the scripture reminds us that Jacob was following what God had told him to do, mm-hmm. and it was not something that he was doing out of his own selfishness or trying to create a lack of unity in the family.
And God has spoken to Jacob
right.
in love,
mm-hmm.
and had directed him on the blessings.
Right.
So he knew, Jacob knew which one to he was going to lay hands on. That's why he crossed over.
Mm-hmm. A crossover.
yeah. A crossover blessing. Mm-hmm.
Well, Lady Kim, let me ask you this, and we can pick up a little of this and read it in this 48th chapter, but do you think that there should be an open discussion even today as it relates to, because this had to do with inheritance, really, and it had a lot to do with who would be in control in the event that something did happen. It had a lot to do with how Jacob recognized perhaps some leadership skills based upon what God had directed him to see in the younger son versus the older son of his son, Joseph. So do you think there should be an open conversation and discussion even today about what the will and the process of who would get what when someone dies? Do you think that should be
so? You saying reveal the will before the will before the person passes away?
Yeah, I'm just asking. Do you think that should be a conversation that should happen?
Well, it depends on the family, I think, and the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, the will is not revealed until that the person passes away.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it should be revealed. The contents of the will should be revealed to keep down confusion.
Okay. And so even in light of that, many times when the parents see, get a sense of God directing them to do something that's not in the proper protocol, where the oldest normally is the one who receives the leadership or the instruction in terms of fulfilling the desires of the deceased. If they find out after that person has passed, the parent, it usually creates confusion because if the younger child is the one who takes control and then their older siblings, they have a lack of understanding in terms of why that happened, and they try to deal with it after the fact and they when they read the will. You follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what would you say to people who are dealing with some similar dynamic today? Because the reason I'm raising that and this chapter really kind of helps bring it to light is that many times people can be confused in terms of their role and their and sometimes hold they're revengeful against their parents because of what happened after the fact when they thought they were supposed to receive something other than what they received. And I'm saying a lot. I hope I'm trying to get people to understand where I'm going with that.
Well, one of the things that I see is that when you inherit, well, first of all, let me say nobody owes anybody anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that especially as an African American, if you receive an inheritance, you're truly
you're blessed.
Truly blessed.
Right.
Okay, because as a custom or a practice, or you know, a lot of people don't even make a will, which is a dangerous thing. First of all, everybody needs to have a will, even if you don't have much of anything, even if you don't own physical property. Everybody should have a will, and everybody should have a will as soon as they become of age and get a job, because life is not promised.
Okay.
We never know what's going to happen.
That's good.
So, just like Sister Loretta said, sometimes the oldest, even though it's the oldest is not mature enough to handle the business.
Hmm.
And so the parent or the grandparent can see in the children which one is able to handle the business, okay? Who will be the one who will carry forth the wishes of the will? And, you know, it's a difficult thing for children to understand, because they think, because I'm the oldest, I should inherit. Usually the oldest inherited a double portion, and we found that out with in the book of Genesis. The oldest inherited a double portion,
that's
and the
right.
others just got a smaller portion.
Right.
And so that's where the jealousy comes in, when the person who is left in charge as the executor of the estate gets that double portion, and they feel like it should go to the someone else or the older. So it's something that needs to be, I think, discussed in the family, amongst the family, but it's not usually brought forward until that death actually occurs.
Okay, okay. Any other comments there? As we just want to kind of bring a little light to that, because we see here that this process happened early on in terms of the switching of the birthright, or the blessing being crossed over. And Jacob knew exactly what he was doing. God had directed him, and Joseph was trying to make sure, no, you got your hands on the wrong person. But many times when people don't clearly understand the direction that God is giving them in terms of what they are, how they are to proceed, it can cause confusion, and it can cause jealousy to erupt in the lives of those who have to carry out. But the good thing, the interesting thing I like about Jacob's decision is that even though the younger son or the grandson received the double portion, he did not leave out
the other son.
Mm-hmm. And so it was enough for them, but that stigma sometimes can cause confusion and cause people to still carry a lot of animosity based upon a decision that was a God-led decision and not something that was done to try to create more confusion.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. There are a couple of comments here that Sister Gwen says her experiences have shown that once death occurs, attitudes almost always change.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably best for the person leaving whatever should let each person know what he or she is getting, or who will execute what is left.
Okay.
So, and then Sister Sherry say, I believe, as you said earlier, we know our children, and parents appoint or give the crossover blessing to the younger. We have to be honest with oneself. So she said they'll be okay. They'll have to be okay, because
know,
there's
right.
nothing that they can really do about
right,
it. You
right,
know, once it's in the will and that will has been certified, then mm-hmm. there's nothing that can be done about it. So it doesn't make any sense for the children to be at odds with the executor or the person who got the double portion or the bigger blessing. I mean, it's a blessing. As black folk, we get anything
right.
at all.
And,
okay.
And that's the point, Lady Kim, because we need to prepare ourselves, and you've already made mention of it. And as soon as we get, you know, a decent job and a place of, you know, where we are at least trying to make a way, and we have kids and grandkids, we need to leave something for them. And we don't need, I've seen situations where Children were struggling, trying to even bury their parents, and because they didn't leave anything. But if you're in a position to at least try to think forward, and not always trying to think about yourself, then there's a generation coming behind you, and it's a perfect teaching tool, if you will, for what's going to go beyond your lifespan. And I know we were at my sister's 70th birthday on Friday in Birmingham, and we looked around the room, and we came to the conclusion that we are the elders now. And there was a time when we were like they're grand nieces and nephews now, right? Mm-hmm. And we were their age, but now they're looking at us like we were looking at our parents and our grandparents back in the day. We're the elders, and so it's important for us to leave a legacy for our children to continue to carry on, and not allow them to carry the brunt of the debt that they might have to incur. And we don't know when that's going to happen, and so we have to be in preparation mode in order to make sure that mm-hmm. that's covered, yeah. because no man knows the hour or the time when the Lord calls our name.
And if anything, this pandemic should have taught us a huge lesson, mm-hmm. that life is not promised, because people of all ages died during this COVID season. And not only a will, do we need a will, we need some life insurance.
That's right.
Life insurance can allow your children to build wealth, mm-hmm. or at least give them a cushion or something that they can have in order to build upon. Sister Loretta said her dad was 88 years old, and they finally got him to do a will last year. Wow. Do you not know, if you own a home and you don't have a will, that it will estate will be tied up in court for years and years? When if that home and that was put in that will and left to your children or your grandchildren or your niece, if you don't have children, leave it to someone in the family.
Or the church, if you don't have any.
Absolutely. Leave something to the church in that will.
Living legacy to continue to be in place, even if you are a surrogate, you still want to do what's right and not let that be something that's wasted or not given to some proper or some meaningful ministry or research or what, however the Lord leads you. But by all means, pray about it and ask God for direction. That's what Jacob was following, is a mandate from God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How are we doing on our time? I didn't want to just throw us all the way off with that, but I think, yeah, what? But I think it's important, and you see the questions and the comments. It's important because this is similar to what they were going through then, but it also, we have to make it relevant, and we have to make it personable for our situations today, so that we can, you know, take these words off of the page and apply it to our own lives.
Amen. Sister Gwen said, wills can be contested if you leave a child out or leave what they believe is not their fair share. Mm-hmm. They can hold it up in court.
That's right.
You know, they can do that, but generally when a will is in place, they you know, go by that will. They can try to hold it up, but they honor what's on that paper, and any judge that has any sense will honor what's on that paper, because if that person has written that will and they're in sound mind, then usually the court will go with what's contained within the will. Yeah, they'll try to hold it up for a minute, but it'll go forward.
All right.
But yes.
Did I go down a rabbit hole? Somebody said. With that, but no, I was just trying to make sure we kind of got that application for our own lives, and how meaningful that is in terms of what we are going to be dealing with if you haven't dealt with it already.
Amen. Amen. Sister Sherry said that's an area she struggles with. I think she's talking about with no insurance. She said, I hate to read when a person says they want to put them away the way they deserve. No insurance. They get what they deserve. Well, you know, you know, that's a catch 22, because in this day and age, you know, some people struggle to make ends meet. Some people live from paycheck to paycheck, and they feel like they cannot afford life insurance. And so,
Best to do it while you're young.
Do it while you're young, while it's cheap. Because when you get old, when you get over 30, 25 and 30 years old, life insurance skyrockets.
Yeah.
So you need to have life insurance while you're young. And so if you're a parent, you need to purchase life insurance for your children so that when they get 30 years old or 35 years old and they have a decent job, then you turn it over to them and let them continue to pay the premium on it so that they'll have life insurance for themselves. Because when you try to get life insurance when you're 45 years old, you're going to pay a lot of money for it.
That's right.
So getting it while you're young is the key. We're putting some major nuggets out here. So we need life insurance as African-American people. If you don't have life insurance, get some right now. If you don't have a will and you have property or, you know, even the furniture and your jewelry and things like that, you need to have a will. Even if you don't have a house, you have a personal property, because, man, when you die, your children are going to fuss and fight over the china in the china cabinet, or the
fork, the spoon,
the car in the driveway, yeah, and the washing machine in the kitchen. It's amazing what people will fight over. So I just thank God, my brother and sister and I, we were amicable about everything. But I thank God that my mother had the foresight to have a will.
That's right.
She had the foresight to have life insurance, which gave us a little cushion along the way. You know,
that was kind of hard getting out, Reverend. That was a major blessing. You said
that was a major blessing. Cushion, I know, a little cushion.
That came in right at the nick of time too, because we were going through. And when that came down, that was a tremendous blessing.
Absolutely. Sister Regina said they were very blessed that their dad had insurance policies they didn't even know about. Yeah. And it came in handy.
That's right.
That's right. And, you know, as inflation takes place, you mm-hmm. know, you might think the insurance policy you have is worth a lot of money. But if you live a life of longevity, by the time you die, it might not be much at all. I remember we used to have an insurance man come around every month and collect the policy.
Yeah.
And my mama used to say he coming to collect for policy, you know. And she would pay him that little money, and he would write it down on a little book that she had that she paid her premium for the month. But, you know, when my mother died, some of those policies weren't worth very much. You know, they were $2,000, $3,000. Well, a funeral nowadays will cost you $10,000 or $15,000. So a $2,000 policy is not going to take you very far due to inflation. So make sure, you know, you have a policy. And they have a way now of calculating how much you will need when you pass away. So there are a lot of handy things now. But I know we went down the rabbit hole on this.
No, I think it was a good conversation, Lady Kim. But and it just kind of opened the door because of this whole process that Jacob was going through with his grandsons and how Joseph was trying to get a sense of it. And I think what we see now is that oftentimes we have to deal with it after the fact, mm-hmm. and we can eliminate a lot of confusion and a lot of frustration, a lot of sibling rivalry, if we lay it out in proper proportion, so that it's not trying to show favors. But you know, and others know, when you recognize those who are going to handle the business. And I think that was part of what happened even in this chapter.
Right. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think you were going to get ready to read part of it.
Yeah.
It's our time is getting, you know, winding up on us. But
why don't you pick it up around verse number 12? Verse number 11, where we talked about how he crossed over his hands and how Joseph had brought the sons to Jacob. And let's just read through that and see where we end up.
Okay. It says, "And Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God has showed me also thy seed. And Joseph brought them out from between his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim from his right hand towards Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand towards Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him."
And we're in the 48th chapter, and that was verse number
12 that I just...
Okay.
13 that I just finished
reading. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
And that was chapter 12, I'm sorry. No, it was chapter 13.
Verse
13, I'm sorry.
All right. Read.
"And Israel stretched out his hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn.
Mm-hmm.
And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom any fathers, Abraham and Isaac, did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemeth me from all evil, bless the lads, and he let his name be named on them, and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. And when Joseph saw that his father had laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him.
Mm-hmm.
And he held up his father's hands to remove it from Ephraim's head onto Manasseh's head.
Right.
And Joseph said unto his father, not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand on his head. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he.
Wow.
And his seed shall become a multitude of nations. And he blessed them that day, saying, in thee shall Israel bless, saying, God, make thee as Ephraim and Manasseh. And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. And Israel said unto Joseph, behold, I die, but God shall be with you and bring you again unto the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the hand of the Amorite with my sword and with my bow."
Okay. And that's a powerful exchange that's happening there. And it's setting the precedence, and it's also reminding us about how the switching of the birthright is happening again, and how Joseph is following the instruction of God. And he's also releasing his son, Joseph, into understanding that whole process in terms of what God is doing. So if we're led by the Spirit, then we should walk in the Spirit and be obedient to what God requires of us. Wouldn't you
Amen.
Agree with me, Lady Kim?
Yeah.
Okay. You want to try to tackle 49 tonight? We got enough time? Or you
well,
want
it's 10 minutes till, so I don't think...
You don't think
don't
we're
going
to be able to do it? Just give us a brief introduction, and then we can pick it up on next week, and we can kind of lay it out, because we see in this chapter, I think... we also saw in the last chapter, 48, where Jacob is really getting weary, and he's already pretty much given some clear indication about what happens after he dies. And he's sharing that in terms of how he wants and how he understands the whole process of what his sons are to inherit, and how he has seen some things in them. And he's letting them know about it before he dies.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. So just maybe do that first part of the intro to that, and then we'll close it out with this tonight, and
okay,
pick that back up next week.
This is chapter, a little recap of chapter 49, and this is where Jacob announces his blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Genesis 49 details the blessings and predictions that Jacob gives each of his sons. Okay. Now he's going to pronounce over each of his sons.
So he's actually doing similar to what we were talking about earlier in terms of letting them know what they would inherit before he died.
Yeah, in a way, you know, back in those days, going back to Jacob and Esau, when Isaac, you know, pronounced them, remember, Esau sold his birthright for some food.
Right.
Right? So when he sold his birthright from his food for some food, his birthright was what he inherited in the will. So he gave away his little double portion to his younger brother. But they also received a blessing, you know, where the father laid their hands on him and kind of made a prediction over where their life was going to go.
Okay.
And so that was the blessing. They kind of read into the person's life, or spoke over the person's life what was going to happen. So remember when Jacob's mom, Rebecca, put all the goat's hair on him and put a shirt on him that smelled like Esau, so that he would be tricked into blessing Jacob with Esau's blessing. And so now here Jacob is, and he's getting ready to pronounce his blessings on his son.
Okay.
So Genesis, the 49th chapter, details the blessings and predictions that Jacob gives each of his sons. Reuben lost his inheritance because he lay with his father's mistress.
Okay.
So he pronounced that he was going to lose his inheritance. Number two, Levi and Simeon were hateful and unforgiving, and separating them from each since they had killed a man.
Hmm.
Judah, like a lion, was promised praise and dominion over the tribes of Israel.
Okay.
Zebulun received the sea and its trade, and was a great port stretching to Zidon. Issachar, like a strong donkey, would be the servant to the other tribes of Israel. Dan, compared to a snake on the path, attacking riders as they passed out, would be a judge to the other tribes. Gad would become warriors, attacked but would overcome. Asher, rewarded with the best grain in the land, would become rich royalty that will come from his lineage. Naphtali, like a deer, using beautiful words.
Mm.
The oldest son by Rachel has, he tells them that they will become a great nation and they will become the 12 tribes of Israel.
Okay.
The youngest son, compared his prophecies to his sons, were not his own, but were shown to him by God. Jacob gave each of his sons their blessings and told them to transport his body to the burial place of his ancestors after his death. He told them that this place was in Canaan, in the fields of Machpelah, where Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebekah his wife, and Leah were buried. On an area of land purchased from Ephron the Hittite. Following his instructions, Jacob laid down on his bed, and he died.
Okay, all right. So he's described each of the predictions in terms of what the sons would receive as a result of the blessing that he was speaking over their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really an announcement of Jacob's blessing, if you will. And it's really very descriptive. And it probably was a lot of tension in the room, because some saw some things that they thought that they were hiding, but it was revealed that the father knew exactly what was going on, even behind the scenes. And he was old in age, he was weary, and he was not able to fully see. He was not, he didn't see as well, his eyes were dim, but he was in a great relationship with God and had a clear understanding in terms of what God was directing him to do in this season and the blessings that he was speaking over his son's life would be a continuation of the inheritance that was spoke over Abraham's life and how God was continuing to fulfill this promise even through Jacob and his sons.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's chapter 49, but we're going to really kind of go back in there a little bit more on next week and just kind of open that up a little bit more. But when you read it, you'll see what Lady Kim has just shared with you is basically what is taking place here in the 49th chapter. And then we'll move over to chapter 50 and we'll close out this on next week and maybe even do a recap the following week.
Okay.
All right. Well, this has been a great study tonight, Lady Kim. I didn't mean to take us down a little rabbit hole there, but I think that a lot of times people have these kind of questions and kind of concerns that they are wrestling with. And we see that nothing is new under the sun and that just what many times what we think nobody else is going through, God has already been there and he's done that and he's moved on and he's left instruction for us. And so we have to be in proper standing with God in order that we might get revelation in terms of what we need to do.
Amen.
Okay. All right. Well, what do you have any announcements or any updates that we need to be aware of, Lady Kim, or if there are any prayer concerns for those who are on this virtual study tonight? We definitely want you to keep us abreast of that so that we can continue to lift you up in prayer. And things are opening up even more so, and the CDC are lifting some of the restrictions. And so we want to make sure that we're there in spirit and in prayer with you as you go through.
Amen. Just a couple of announcements, and I forgot to remind everyone on Sunday that this coming Saturday, the youth will have a free virtual game day. It's this coming Saturday at 11:30 a.m. So virtual game day for all of our young people. We will have games for our youth ages kinder, preschool all the way up through high school. So let the kids log on. We'll send the log in information out this week, but log on for the virtual game day. We're going to play a few games and have a little fun. So it's our back to church virtual game day this coming Saturday at 11:30.
How long will it last?
Until about 12:30 or 1 o'clock.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably about 12:30. Uh-huh. So it won't be very long, but we just want to, you know, see their faces and get together. This is on Zoom. It's a Zoom virtual game day. So gather the kids. We'll send out the information real soon. And then don't forget, we're returning to in-person worship on Sunday, May the 30th at 9:45 a.m. in the sanctuary. The registration link will go out this week. So be looking forward to that. You have to register. You need to wear your mask and social distance. So we need a count on how many people are returning. We can only have a certain number of people in the sanctuary at one time. So we're hoping that everyone will register that is returning to worship so that we can get an accurate count. Don't forget to wear your mask also and social distance. So that's about it. Oh, our sick and shut-in. Don't forget to lift up our sick and shut-in. Brother Larry Shotwell is home now. He was at Baptist East. He's now home and resting. So we thank God that Brother Shotwell is out of the hospital. I haven't had an update on Sister Alicia Davis yet. So if anybody knows, I'll try to get in contact with Sister Alicia to see how she's recovering. We're praying for a mighty healing in her body. And again, lift up the Lawson family, Brother Andrew Lawson, and the loss of his nephew. That funeral was on, that service was on last Friday.
That's right. All right. Well, thank you, Lady Kim, for those updates. Will you close us out with a word of prayer?
Sure. Let's pray. God, we thank you on today. We bless you and we honor you, for you are worthy to be praised. God, we ask your choicest blessings to be upon us as we continue throughout this week. We ask, oh God, that you will go before us in everything that we say or do. Let it be pleasing in your eyesight. We lift up our sick and shut in. We lift up our bereaved to you, Lord. We lift up those who are struggling with different issues and concerns. We know, oh God, that we need to lean and trust and depend on you,
thank you,
in every situation. And we thank you, oh God, that you are our God and that you go before us and you make a way out of no way if we only learn to trust in thee. We love you. We thank you. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And praise God. Well, thank each of you for being on tonight. And we are grateful for your continued support. And know that God has not forgotten about you. And so we decree and declare that every need will be met and every way will be made and every prayer will be heard in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. And someone asked, is the graduation profile online? I think Sister Theron said she's going to put it online. But you can just email me the information or you can call Tiffany at the church and give her that information. We also need a picture, a graduation picture. So we need that information by the end of this month. Okay, so if you are an ATOP member and you have graduated from high school or college, we say congratulations to you. And please send in your graduation information for graduation recognition Sunday, which will be held the last Sunday in June.
Okay, well, we hope y'all have a fantastic rest of the evening and go in peace.
Amen. Love you guys.
Until next time.
Bye-bye.